Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday to you. So, apropos of the Chiefs press conference there, why do I feel the opposite? I know that feelings aren't facts, and when, of course, they're gonna spin it as best they can. But when they say, "Oh, it's a historic low for murders," well, like the Cardinals, hold on, killing season's not over yet. And when they say that the other crime's down 21%, why do we all feel the opposite? Are they just terrible message bringers?
Well, I think the numbers are screwy. That we're getting from them. I really do believe that. And we've had criminologists on that have said they can't get access to the same data that they used to be able to by geography. I think they book a lot of shootings as non-homicides because the two guys shooting at each other. There's a violent crime problem in St. Louis, and we all know that. And it would be far better to acknowledge that on the part of our leader, in my opinion, on the part of our leaders.
Although I guess I wonder, we got a crime problem. I don't think there's a question. It's worse than any other city in the country. The FBI numbers nationwide, though,
are down.
Are saying that it's down. So it kind of jives with that. So that makes sense. I wonder if part of our problem is, Even if our crime numbers are higher than they should be, if we talk about it in such a way that this sounds like the worst place on earth and you never want to go there ever. You never want to come downtown St. Louis because you will be murdered if you come down here. Maybe that's why. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why we feel like it could be a great city. It has been a great city before. It's not nearly as great as it could be or needs to be. But when I come down here, and I'm down here every single day, I don't feel like I'm in danger. But I think other people who live, you know, out west or south or north or whatever, they're like, I'm not going down there.
I think you're right. And I think because I'm a local news junkie, as you guys know, especially on the weekends when I'm home, I watch every broadcast pretty much. And they all start out with the list of the killings.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Look, if it bleeds, it leads has been the way it goes in the news for.
And that's kind of everywhere,
not
too.
Yeah. It's not like they have to dig for
them. No, that's true. They're there at the surface. I think for us personally, like our perception is because we're in a hot spot, right? Every time we walk around to go to lunch, we're like, isn't that the corner where the young girl from Tennessee lost her legs? Isn't that where that guy was shot? Isn't that where that other guy ran over two women? Like, they're all right here. So for us, I think that's why our feeling is you look around and you're like, yep, landmark, murder shell down the road. But I would agree with what Ron said. I come down every day. I don't feel like I'm coming into the danger zone. I don't feel like
I own several guns, and I have carried them at times in my life. Carried for the first 3 years or so that I got my concealed carry. I haven't in years. I could. I don't. So I'm obviously not feeling like I need to keep my head on a swivel. My worry, although I don't want to get shot in the face at noon, but my worry is more for the economy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The way we sell ourselves and the way that we don't sell ourselves. And I don't know. I get tired. Like I heard Mayor Jones on KMOX, a recording of something that she talked about. And all of this happy horse crap about, well, we're bringing in all these organizations. We're bringing in all these professors looking for the most bang for our buck, looking for this, looking for that. What if there is an expert who said, here's what you have to do. You have to arrest them. You have to arrest enough of them and be tough enough on them that it deters other people from doing it. Although a whole lot of this seems to be fights. A whole lot of the shootings seem to be not stick-ups, but just fights, you know?
Yeah, and you know, when you talk to officers that deal, we've got this Metro Strike Force that is out in Maryland Heights, and the folks that run that, when they tell you about the level of gang activity that exists here, we never really think about that. But there are actual gangs running around these streets. They're running guns. They're networked nationally. They send weapons across the country to one another, the different gangs. And then certainly the drug situation is prevalent among the gang members. That's driving a lot. It's not all of it, but it's driving a good amount of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess my feeling about St. Louis is It's not that I feel unsafe. It's that, Kevin, as you mentioned, all these things, this happened here and that happened here, and we're right in the heart of it. We are right in the heart of where there's nothing. You go across Tucker from where this building is, and that is exactly the area that the New York Times wrote about.
Right.
How it's just nothing. There's a business here, and then you walk half a block. Well, maybe here's another business. It's not like a, it doesn't, in that regard, feel like a real downtown, because there just isn't much here. That's my problem with downtown St. Louis. There's nothing here.
It's a chicken or an egg thing, because John and I are old enough to remember when it was bustling, when you had to wait in a line to get into lunch anywhere between Tucker and 4th Street. So it's possible. I've lived through it not all that long ago when I started out my legal career. And where there are crowds, you don't see as much. You don't see as much violence.
That's right. It. We talked about that today on the show.
Yeah.
That it's what prevents crime is there being a lot of people downtown. When there's a Battle Hawks game, there's nothing going on by the stadium. When there's a Cardinals game, there's nothing going on by Busch Stadium. When there's a Blues game or a concert, you're not seeing a whole lot, right?
Yeah.
When there are people in the city, crimes don't happen at that kind of frequency, because if you're a person who is going to commit one, you're less likely to do it when somebody might see you do it.
So in fairness, you don't see a lot of Joe Blow, normal guy from St. Charles, had his head blown off by, unnamed assailant. It's mostly fighting each other.
It is. But I'll tell you what I wouldn't do. I mean, we come down here all the time for work. I would not walk from Busch Stadium to our parking garage here after a Cardinal game at 11 o'clock at night. I wouldn't do it.
Oh, I've done it.
I have too.
No, I wouldn't do it.
I mean, I got here in 2006, from 2006 until 2013 and then 2020 till now. I mean, when I covered the Cardinals, I was always walking those walks.
Yeah.
I would do it. I would have my head on a swivel.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Comfortable.
You're not just like whistling going, ooh.
But I would do that anywhere.
Yeah. I would do that in Chicago and in Miami and in Detroit and everywhere else I've lived.
Rach and I went down to get an iced tea in our building, and there were five or six people that made us go the other way. So that's in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
You know, one guy just clearly wiped out on something, just stumbling around and, singing to himself and stumbling all over everything. Just, yeah. 126 DGS. Weird little segment here because we had that news conference we carried at the top. One of the very last, possibly the last, unknown tribe in the Amazon was contacted a couple years ago, and we, through Starlink, through our good friend Elon Musk, have set them up with the internet. They've lived the same way for at least hundreds and hundreds of years, as you can imagine, very simply, a tribe in the Amazon, and now they have the exact same problems we do.
Wow.
For real.
Yeah.
Their teenagers are just like, you're stupid, and they won't stop looking at the internet, and they said, our lives have been ruined, and someone said, we'll take it away, and they're like, not over our dead bodies.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. There you go.
It sounds so nice. To just not have access to
Doesn't any of this.
Yeah, kind of.
Sounds idyllic. I'm sure it's not. I'm sure, scratch yourself in a thorn bush and you're dead 2 days later, but.
I like. Yeah, now you can look it up on WebMD.
Yeah.
That's right.
Scratch myself on weird bush, what do?
Oh, it says I have cancer. Oh. It would be nice to not. I mean, it's a good thing to have access to information, but also sometimes I wish I didn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, and we're all exactly like the tribe. We're like, it would be so nice to not have it. Okay, let's take away your smartphone. Yeah.
Well,
No.
Good.
Sometimes I feel like I'm the most addicted because I feel like I'm the only one in the room that's not.
We feel that way too.
Yeah, that's. I'm the only one in the room that's like, I don't know. I love the internet. I think the internet's great.
No, I'm with him.
Couldn't be happier.
This isn't that.
That makes me think
it?
Kevin and I are the most addicted.
That's the one that no one's made contact with, right? Except there's one person
who they killed with arrows.
They killed him. Yeah. Sentinel Island.
Although from the look of that guy,
probably would have
shot him with an arrow too.
I would have too.
Yeah. So it's really not their fault.
Yeah, they didn't even think he was like a ghost or something. They're just like, look at this.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we just.
So do these folks have their own language? These Amazon people?
They do.
And did who decoded it?
You got me, Elon, I guess.
Because if you think about it, you're living out there.
I doubt that.
You just kind of figure out how you're going to talk to each other, and you start making up. Sounds
right. You just point to a tree and you make a sound.
And then now you got the internet. The internet doesn't know what you're talking about. How does Siri work if you've got a language?
135 DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday. What an oxymoron, right?
Yeah, happy Monday. Yeah,
I was just telling the guys, it's hard to do the show when you're pissy, but I am, since my, you know, weekends used to be weekends, and since my mom's fall, not complaining, happy I can help take care of her. But when you are at a nursing home four times during the weekend, and then Monday rolls around, you're almost like, oh, okay. But then I'm back there tonight, so.
Nobody wants to go to that.
No, they don't.
It's not. I mean, you have to, and you want to. You know, want to, but you don't want to.
No, you don't get in the car and like. Right. I wonder how long it's going to take me to get there this time.
Like, you want to be there right. for her. It just it's it
That's
never
exactly right.
It never feels like a good environment.
Yeah.
Even as hard as some of the people working there try to make it feel like a good environment, it just never.
Well, no one can take care of your loved one the way they should.
Right.
To your standards, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when I got there one day over the weekend, my mom had spilled her Ensure all over herself. So, like, I, you know, turned her covers around where it wasn't on her, saw one of the CNAs and said, hey, just so you know, my mom spilled this. I'm going to, you know, take her out, blah, 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 blah. And they hadn't changed it by the time I got back, but it's like, you know, half an hour. My timeline is not their timeline.
Right. Right.
And until it is bad, like the place my dad was in was not good and they were not good. And we complained. This is not that.
Right.
You have to know when to keep your powder dry and when to, you know, cause a kerfuffle. Let's talk some sports. So I intentionally avoided this topic and it's stale now, but I'm curious in your guys' take. I didn't like it when Marmol used Mason Wynn to pinch hit because of the streak. And I get the argument that it's about the ball game. It's not about any individual streak. I understand, according to Marmol, that he asked Mason Wynn. And, of course, what's Mason Wynn going to do? Like, I'd rather not, coach. Just put me in tomorrow when I can go, you know, 1-for-4 or something. But I just thought that it was a myopic, bad decision. Am I just completely wrong on this? Am I just too invested in records and such?
That would be my answer, but I'm also like more diehard coach perspective than most people, right? I mean, it's an entertainment product, so I understand people that are interested in achievement, right? Because it's not just for a fan, it's not just, although I would say for a lot of them it is, win the game.
Well, also, Walker was killing it, or Crawford, I'm sorry. Crawford was killing it that game.
Yeah, but he doesn't hit lefties, and that's why they make the move to do things like that. This is the problem that a manager faces, because there are fans that are going to look at it the exact way you're describing. And then there are other fans that are like, just win the game. Just win the game. And somebody's going to be unhappy one way or the other. You're going to have a group of people that are not happy with the decision. So what you have to do is, what is my job today? My job today is to win this game. So what's the best chance at winning that game? Well, it's putting Mason Wynn's hitting streak on the line. And it's crappy. And it sucks for Mason Wynn to have a streak come to an end. I bet he didn't care as much as a lot of other people did, though.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
It is. It's all about context. If this team were the Brewers and seven games up in the division, leading everybody else, maybe you don't. Maybe you let that one go, let Crawford, you know, just play out the rest of the game. But because right now the Cardinals they're scrapping for little bit, and they're trying to make up ground, and they still have time to do it. It's just that any win you get right now helps a lot, because they've had so far to go to get back to 500 and then try to get back over 500, which they haven't been able to do. And they've played so well over about 2.5 or 3 weeks. Right now, they just need wins. Wins trumps everything. But again, if they were in first place by seven games, maybe you make a different decision.
Or if they were still 10 games down, you know what I mean? Like, because I don't think that's a wrong opinion, Dave. I don't think there's a right or a wrong. I think, because I felt some of that too. I mean, as it was happening, I'm like, ooh, like that really makes it tough if you're coming into a game late and you've got to get a hit now or your streak is over. But then the coach in me was like, yeah, but you got to try to win the game. Like, as an example, and I won't use names or anything like that, but this weekend I had to pinch hit for a player late in the game.
Bobby.
And I don't want to do that because I don't want to take at bats away from a kid who's still trying to improve. But in that moment, the game was on the line and there was a better hitter on the bench who was having his day off. So I went to the guy that had been hitting better and I took another guy out. I know that that sucks. I didn't want to, but I kind of feel like I owe it to the whole group to do what's best for the team to try to win the game as opposed to the one kid.
Did he get a hit?
What's that?
Did he get a hit?
No. But we did win the game the next inning.
What about that kid who got the day off and then suddenly had to go work?
Well, no, and he was in the same
day
spot.
Day off means day off,
he,
pal.
He was in the same kind of position in the sense that he pitched the game before, so he was tired. And the second game, he's gotten the game off because I'm letting him recover a little bit. And, yeah, it's hard. It's hard to come in there when you've been sitting around for a handful of innings and come in and try to do something tough.
I'm very happy the Cardinals won last night.
Boy, they needed that.
I didn't feel like they deserved any of those wins. I just felt like we ran into a better team that outplayed us. And then we played pretty sloppy.
Yesterday, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, what, three errors yesterday? And uncharacteristic stuff. I mean, it's been happening. You know, we've been talking a lot about Goldschmidt and Arenado's offense not being up to snuff. And it's still, Goldie got better for a while, but it seems like it's kind of calmed down and Nolan still can't find the power. But those guys made I forget which game it was, but they both made an error in the same inning of a game for the first time since they've been teammates. Like, the defense is not there. Now, Nolan is better defensively now than he was last year. Last year, he really stepped back. But there are still too many. And it's not those two guys only, right? But those two guys are the veteran. This is why we hug the veteran, established, stable guys need to be the established, stable guys. Because a guy like Mason Winn is young. He's going to make mistakes of youth. You know, you've got other guys maybe that aren't playing in their best position. They're going to make mistakes in some of those cases. That's why you need the guys that are the proven guys to do it. And, yeah, I thought that was a good description yesterday with sloppy. And you know what? It's true. Philly is better. They're better. They have better pitching, both starting and relieving. They have a better lineup. I don't think they're better defensively, but doesn't really make a difference in this.
I started out with feelings aren't facts, but feelings are important, the feelings you get.
Yeah.
And when watching the game, everyone who would come up for the Phillies, I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Whereas for the Cardinals, that's how it feels. And it's like maybe four of them, I'm like, all right.
And keep in mind, that's without a $30 million player in their lineup. That's with Trey Turner on the injured list. So plug another $30 million player into the top two or three spots in that order, and you're talking about, I mean, that team is, they're ludicrously good. And you know what's interesting, though? I think there's an interesting thing for Cardinal fans to keep in mind as you're watching the Phillies team, because part of the reason they're so good is their star players, right? I mean, Bryce Harper's a stud, Kyle Schwarber's a stud, Trey Turner, JT Realmuto. But one of the differences for them between last year and this year is guys like Brandon Marsh and Alec Bohm have taken major steps forward. Well, those were guys that came up as top prospects. Bohm was a first round pick like Jordan Walker. And in their first few years, they were just middling. They were just okay. And now a few years in, they're starting to be more regular impact players, which I think is an interesting point about player development, is it's not always plug and play when you come up as a young guy. The Phillies have had the ability to carry that because, you know, their top three or four guys are putting up 40 homer seasons.
How good would Bryce Harper look in a Cardinals uniform?
I mean, damn good, dude.
Right?
Pretty damn good.
And Bohm. That guy.
And here's the interesting thing. Yeah. But here's the interesting thing. See, like, Schwarber doesn't fit the kind of player the Cardinals like, because they like guys that can play some defense, and he's basically a DH. And at that time, when the DH wasn't in the National League, that's part of the decision. But Harper always fit.
Always.
He always fit. And it's crazy that his contract's not even that insane. It's long, but it's not that much per year.
Every time one of these deals gets signed and then people freak out over how much money and how much per year it is, just wait 3 years. It won't seem like that much money because guys are making closer to that.
Yeah.
Before we break, Astros?
So they've been kind of a mixed bag. So they started off horribly. Then they got really hot, and now they're cold again. They've lost five of their last seven. Their offense isn't going very well. The problem, though, is their offense is very gifted. They just have a bunch of really talented guys that have been struggling. Altuve's been struggling. Alvarez has been struggling. The only one that's not is Kyle Tucker. He's been ridiculous all season long. But they have good pitching, and you're going to see a good pitcher in two of the three games from them. Justin Verlander tonight. Verlander and Gibson tonight. So hopefully Gibson's got his game, because Verlander's pretty good.
We're back in town against who wins.
And then Colorado coming up this weekend. That should be an opportunity to win some games. Colorado typically stinks away from their home field.
More like the Astros with two S's.
Let's do a couple more sports stories while we have Ronge here. I'm intrigued by Caitlin Clark. We were talking about this a little bit earlier in the bullpen in there where you guys have your office. And Wheels was saying this is kind of a Rorschach test. You know, you've got this sweet little white girl with black girls knocking her down, and people are like, racism, racism. And then it just it depends on what your worldview is, how you see it. I see it as welcome to the big leagues, Miss scoring champion, you know, pretty standard stuff. If Wheels, you're famous for saying this, if guys were doing this,
no one would care.
But I do think they need to be careful because no one's going to know your name if Caitlin Clark's gone. This so far does it, it only whips it up into a bigger frenzy. Sports is made up of good guys, bad guys, villains and rivalries. So no problem there. But interesting. It's like you said, it really is a Rorschach test.
Yeah.
It is exactly what you said. It is, all right, there's probably some jealousy involved.
Oh, there's a lot of jealousy involved.
Because you had these women who are they really good at the sport, and they've been there for a while, and they're like, oh, now you want to pay attention that this rookie came in. So I'm sure there's a lot of jealousy there, but it's also what you said. It's, hey, welcome to the show, kid. Let's see how good you really are, and we're going to, you know, we're going to be physical with you. This isn't college where if they breathe on you wrong, they're calling a foul. This is a different kind of sport. And this happened to Jordan, that he had, in the history of the NBA, he had the fifth most free throw attempts of anybody in their rookie season. It happened to Shaq. He was in the top 10 in that.
Hack-a-Shaq.
Yeah, Wilt Chamberlain, it happened to him. This happens to players who are the next coming. Once they make it to the pros, all those guys and women who are already there say, okay, well, let's see how good you are. Let's see if you can handle the physicality. Now, you don't want to get her hurt.
Right.
That's stupid because that will hurt the sport. It's good if she's there. But all of this, I think, is great for the WNBA. Everybody's talking about it,
and everybody
has a passionate opinion about it. I think this is only good for the sport.
I would agree. I think that minus the controversy, even the people that are curious because of Caitlin Clark aren't talking about it. It's not being discussed by Pat McAfee on ESPN if this isn't the way that it is. Yeah. I'm not sure that the publicity is bad.
If she just came into the league and hit a bunch of threes, you're like, yawn.
And it would be exciting, but it wouldn't be a story. It wouldn't be a controversy. And in this kind of case, controversy does get eyeballs. It does get people. And I think, Ron, the Jordan example is the perfect example. The scouting book on Michael Jordan in his first handful of years was beat the crap out of him.
There's a thing called the Jordan rules.
Yeah. I'm a Pistons fan.
Yes.
They were a bunch of goons. You had a bunch of big guys, and they had a deep team with like 11 guys that played.
Foul out.
So the big guys, the big guys, we're just going to hit him. I mean, and people are like, well, that was just physical play. This was dirty. Mm-hmm. Really? You remember Dennis Rodman running Scottie Pippen into the upright?
How about Bill Laimbeer?
Yeah. You remember Bill Laimbeer elbowing Larry Bird in the face? I mean, like, this stuff's not new to sports, but I think it's new to a lot of people that don't pay a lot of attention to sports.
Yes, it
and
is.
They lose their minds because like the play that everybody's buzzing from the weekend, it was a cheap shot.
Yeah.
You saw that, right? The shoulder knocked her over. The ball's not in play. That's a total cheap shot.
They were also barking at each other way before that, too.
But it wasn't a dangerous thing.
Right.
Yeah. It was a shove.
Shoulder.
Yeah. And it's bad, and it should be penalized, by the way. And I think that's where the WNBA, the league, needs to be more sharp.
Well, they did. They increased the foul after the fact.
There are a lot of things that they're not calling.
So in another
story, you got to call the fouls.
If you want female sports, the DGS is your place. Charlie Hull, the golfer, have you seen this?
She's like the Lady John Daly.
The Lady John Daly, because she smokes.
Yeah.
And she smokes cigarettes out on the course, which is kind of sexy. And and they asked her, they're like, you are a very good golfer, a very aggressive golfer, known for that, and now you're famous because you smoked one cigarette. She's like, I know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, I lit up one cigarette, now everyone knows my name.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Yep, it is so stupid. the dumbest things go viral. But I mean, like, think about it. That's part of why John Daly was in his prime a really good golfer, but never like elite, elite, elite. But what was he known for? Crazy clothes, smoking cigs while he's just gripping it and ripping it, right? Because that was his thing. I'm just going to hit as far as I can. And it was his personality that sold him more than his game. And I think that, he had great game. But the point is that he wasn't the best golfer in the world. He was just fun. and people identified it. And that's, I think, what they're looking at with her.
1 year when we had a tournament here, and way before I was in radio, I was at the first hole, and they were on the walkie-talkie because John Daly was in a ditch, and I got to hear that. And then I walked up, and someone was holding court, and they were talking about playing golf with Michael Jordan and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, I have to see what a real a-hole looks like. So I pushed all the way up to the front. It was Costas. And then Costas, now we didn't know each other at all. He's looking right at me because I just pushed my way to the front and is basically talking to me. And I'm just like,